Well, good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. And, you know, it was sprinkling out when I left the house, but we came up here and the sky was starting to turn blue. It almost looks like we have the sun out. So what a blessing from the Lord to be able to come into His presence and worship Him today in the light of the sun and in the light of His Son, right? Well, just some announcements this morning before we get started. You'll see on the back of the bulletin here that we're going to have Bible study tomorrow. Actually, we're going to start early tomorrow packing the backpack buddies. So 9 o'clock to pack the backpack buddies. It usually takes about an hour. We'll try to get the basement a little warmed up for us so it's not 50 down there. But don't expect it to be super warm. Maybe bring a sweatshirt or something. We'll get you warmed up once we start moving back and forth packing these bags. So 9 o'clock for that. Takes about an hour. Bible study will start at 10. We're in 1 Samuel Chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Our next prayer meeting is going to be this Thursday at 6:30 here, but keep your eye on the skies. Wednesday or Thursday is supposed to be a mix of sleet and rain and snow kind of on and off all day with a high of 33. So we may have to cancel depending on how the roads are that day. So just be aware of that. I'll try to make some calls about 4 to see how the roads are up here. We're going to meet at church this Friday, December 16th at 5:30 to do some caroling around the area. Probably 4 or 5 stops, probably an hour, a little more than an hour of caroling, and then maybe some refreshments or hot chocolate after over here. So it's a great time for singing if you enjoy singing. And even if you don't, you can come and smile. That's right. You can come and smile. You can lip sync. Don't forget our candlelight service, a great opportunity to invite others to come and to meet us and to maybe be introduced to us and to Jesus. Candlelight service, 7 o'clock on December 18th. And we will have some refreshments after that for sure. Don't forget the council meetings after church today. We'll just meet here. So council meeting here. Anyone is welcome to attend. If there's any votes, only council members can vote. But anybody is more than welcome to stay and take part in the council meeting. Don't forget next week, since we will have our candlelight service in the evening, next week would be a day if you'd want to bring a poinsettia to help decorate the front of the church. You could bring it in the morning service or before the candlelight service and take it home after the candlelight service. So we'll try to decorate with some poinsettias there. Just want to say it's nice to see Kay here. It's nice to see Bob here, two that have been missing for a while. Kay for work, Bob for health reasons. But boy, it's just a real blessing to have you guys here to worship with us. Just making sure you're behind the candles over there. I was like, just making sure she didn't sneak out on me. Yeah. All right, and so we do have some prayer requests we want to update you on. Becky Smith, the last I heard, was still at WVU in the hospital. And the news on Friday was not really that great. The infection that they're fighting was beginning to spread to other parts of her body. And so the infectious disease doctors were working on a regimen of antibiotics to try to make her feel better. But that was not good news for her. So again, just be praying, be lifting up Becky to the Lord and asking the Lord to help the doctors to know how to combat that. Is there any updates since Friday that you've heard of?
We had a better day yesterday.
Okay, good. Okay. Okay, good. So that's a praise. All right. So just, again, continue to ask the Lord to make this antibiotic work well. We're lifting up the Himmelwright family this week. Cliff passed away. He was 48 and passed away in his sleep this past week. And so just be lifting up the Himmelwright family as they begin to mourn the passing of Cliff. Miles, Phil and Joan's great-grandson, I want to make sure I don't put an extra grade in there, great-grandson, great-grandson has RSV, and actually he's pretty sick. He's home with medicine, so he's not in the hospital, but there's a lot of RSV going around. We know Logan had strep this week, and he's better. Bob is doing better. He goes back into some more chemo on January 4th, so preparing that his body would be putting on weight until then. He wants to try to beef himself up a little bit before he gets that next chemo treatment. Phil and Monica are improving from a respiratory issues. It was not COVID, though, just so you know. And also Jack and Marlene. They're both improving. You know, Jack is, his immune system is not quite as strong as Marlene, so it's taken him a little longer to recover from the COVID that he had, this bout of COVID over Thanksgiving. So just be lifting up Jack especially. And of course, Marlene's appointment for surgery is January 16th. Sharon's having surgery tomorrow on her knee. So be lifting up Sharon in the morning as she goes in for this long-awaited knee surgery to try to alleviate some pain. And if you hadn't heard, Amy LaFollette graduates WVU on Saturday. And she graduates cum laude, so 3.59 something. Yeah, so you might want to send some congratulation cards to Amy, because that's a milestone, isn't it? And don't forget, there's a few birthdays today, so maybe you could say happy birthday to a few people on the way out. That's all I have for announcements and prayer requests that I can think of. Did I miss anything? Okay.
This would be her second. If she gets a kid, it'll be her second trying to play. But they're not thinking it's going to happen because her body's rejecting it badly now. So they're not sure that it'll even happen. So they're not sure what they're playing.
So that's what's going on right now, is her body's rejecting that first transplant. Okay. All right. So Paula had a kidney transplant. Now she's on dialysis. And it sounds like maybe they're not ruling her as a candidate for another transplant. So, so dialysis, you know, it's a good option for if you don't have any other options. But it is very difficult to be at the hospital three times a week taking care of that. So be praying for Paula. All right. Well, we're Advent week three, and I hope that you're. Remember that we lit the candle of hope, we lit the candle of peace. Today we're going to light the candle of joy. And just imagine for a moment the joy that Adam and Eve must have felt in the garden, you know, walking in the cool of the day with the Lord himself. They must have been filled with a great sense of peace and contentment and joy. Of course, that didn't last long, right? Because then with the fall, they were kicked out of the garden, and there was a loss of joy. And yet at Christmas time, right, the Lord sends us Jesus to restore our joy. And we hear, as Mary is told that she's going to give birth to the Savior, she sings a song. She says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." So as we light this candle of joy, I would encourage you this Advent season to let the joy of the Lord fill your heart as you remember that the Lord sent him to restore our relationship with the Lord so we could walk with him like they did in the garden. Amen. Well, let's stand together. We come into the presence of the Lord to worship him in spirit and in truth. And everywhere in Scripture, we see the Lord calling us into his presence. Here from Psalm 136, "Give thanks to the Lord, O people of God, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, O people of God, for his steadfast love endures to all generations." Let's pray. Lord, we come into your presence to praise you, to be filled with joy over the coming of Jesus, to be filled with joy that we now have the right, the privilege, the ability to come into your presence holy and blameless and righteous, covered by the blood of our Savior. So we ask you to accept our worship, Lord, as we respond to your call. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, take your hymnal and turn to hymn number 40 as we continue to work through some of our Christmas hymns. We're going to sing "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day," number 40. Thank you. You may be seated. And so if you want to follow along with our scripture reading this morning, it's in Malachi chapter 3. We're going to read the first five verses in your pew Bible. It's page 954. If you're looking in your own Bible, just find the break between the New and Old Testament. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament, and chapter 3 is one of the last couple of pages of the Old Testament. And again, we're going to see here that the promise, the prophecy here given, is that the Lord would send a messenger. This messenger is not Jesus. This is the forerunner to Jesus, the one that would announce the arrival of the Messiah. And so, Jeannie, would you like to come and read for us this morning, please? Malachi, it's going to be Malachi chapter 3, and we're going to read the first five verses.
Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner, and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts.
We're going to see at least a little bit a picture of John doing that as he calls for the arrival, or proclaims, I should say, the arrival of the Messiah. And he says to prepare the way by turning from your evil, wicked ways and coming for a baptism, a washing, a cleansing, coming in repentance. And of course, you know, it really does answer the question there, doesn't it? It says, but who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? And of course, the answer we see in the gospel, the answer we see at Advent, is only those who have put their trust in the Lord. Because only when you are covered by the blood of Christ can you stand in his presence. But when you are covered by the blood of Christ, you can stand, you will stand, and you will have joy in the presence of the Lord. Well, our Lord is a consuming fire, and yet he says to come to him and lay our request before him, to set out our concerns, our joys, and our sorrows before him. He will listen, and he will hear, and he will respond and work good for us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll recite the Lord's Prayer together at the end. Let's pray. Lord, again, we have a prayer list that is full of requests. And so we lift it up to you, Lord, and we ask that you would look it over, that you would see our heart's desire for healing for those on our prayer list. Lord, some are in more serious situations than others, but each, Lord, needs your touch, needs to know your mercy, your goodness, your faithfulness, needs to know that you're near to them. They need to know that you're good and not evil. You're patient and not angry. They need to know that they have no need to fear you when they know Jesus. They need to know your mercy. They need to know that you're gracious and not stingy. They need to know that you're working all things for their good, even when everything around them looks like evil, looks like trouble, looks like even death may be approaching. Lord, they need to know that they will stand in the land of the living and look on you with their own eyes. They need to know your goodness, your comfort, and your patience. And so we lift these up to you, and we pray that that would be true, that you would so come and fill them with your Spirit, that they would experience a real sense of peace and joy, the peace and joy that only comes from you, Father. We ask that you would deliver it to them this day. But not just for these individuals, Lord, but for our county, for our country, for the world. There is so much strife, so much suffering, so much dishonesty, so much lack of trust in one another. And so, Lord, we pray that our eyes would be turned from the world to you. That the hearts of the people of this world would be turned from the world to you, so that they would know Jesus, especially this Christmas season. We pray that your Spirit would go out and reveal exactly what happened so many years ago at the arrival of a small baby. The Savior of the world come to bring us to heaven. And we pray that that message would be powerful and effective and bring many to glory. We know you're able, Lord. We know you're powerful enough to do it. We know you're strong enough to do it. We know your will is that all would be saved. And so we ask for you to send your Spirit out to bring the people of God into the throne room of heaven. And we ask it in Jesus' name, Lord, make it so. And now, Lord, we join our hearts together reciting the prayer you taught your disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, take your hymnal and turn to hymn number 35. It came upon a midnight clear. Number 35. You can remain seated. Well, here's another opportunity to bring a gift before the Lord. You know, at Christmas, we give gifts. We give gifts because the Lord gave us the gift of Jesus. And so I would just encourage you as the ushers come around to think about giving your gift to the Lord in that same spirit. The Lord loves you, and out of a great love for Him, offer back to Him a portion of what He gives you. So, men, please come. Let's stand together for the doxology.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Father God, we do bring this gift to you as a token of our love for you. We pray that you would take it and multiply it and use it, that you'd be pleased by it, Lord, that you would bless us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Well, if you want to get ready for the sermon, you can turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, so Matthew, Mark, Luke in the New Testament, if you're using your own Bible. The Pew Bible page number is 994. You'll have to look for 995 and just look next door. You'll see why. You know, again, I just want to mention, as we introduce this new Sunday school lesson, we're going to be starting January 8th, From Embers to a Flame, how God can revitalize your church. And I want to be up front. What he's talking about is revitalizing you individually, your own heart. And when the church individuals are revitalized, then the church itself is. Because again, the church is not a building. It's not a place. It is the people of God. And here's just a quick paragraph here. It says, the concept of recovery is very helpful in understanding the task of church revitalization. And it sheds light on one of the problems with most of the modern models for church growth and renewal. He's been talking about some of those models previously. He says, whether it's the business model, the entertainment model, or the healing model, they all have one thing in common. They are new strategies for growing the church in the modern world. But Jesus doesn't say that we should re-engineer the church. He says that we should re-establish it. He calls for a return to the first things that made the ministry great before, not for a whole new approach to doing church. And you know, that's because the church always has the same story, right? It's one story told over a period of years, right? A story that's been revealed, the plot's been revealed over a period of years. I mean, you know, it used to be like, you know, when you watched movies, mostly just movies would be on TV, right? I mean, like, you know, if you had HBO or Showtime or cable, you know, you had like TV shows, then you had movies. Maybe there was a few documentaries out there too, but most of the programs outside of the regular television schedule were movies. And if you had a movie and then you had another movie, it would be a sequel to the first movie, right? It'd be this part of the same story, like the author of that book's talking about, right? If you had Smokey and the Bandit, you'd have Smokey and Bandit 2, you know? And if you had two good movies, because not every sequel is that good, right? But if you had two good movies, they would stand on their own. You could watch just one of them. It would be okay. Of course, it would be helpful if you'd seen the first movie first, so you would know what the second movie was all about, right? As Mark opens up his gospel here, right, as he's talking about the coming of the Messiah, he's talking about one story, right? And God reestablishing that story here with the arrival of Jesus. It helps if you know the old story first, but you don't have to. Mark's message is still very clear. And what is his message? What is going on here in Mark chapter 1? Mark is addressing the arrival of the Messiah to an audience that doesn't know the first story. He's not writing to a Jewish audience. He's writing to a Gentile Roman audience. And even though they don't know the background of the promise of the Messiah, Mark unites the old message with the new message and shows that God is reestablishing his story, actually coming with something new, coming with Jesus. And so I want to pray this morning that we would see Jesus in this passage and also see what the Lord is doing as he sends him to us. Let's pray. Lord, as we turn now to this gospel message where Jesus comes, a grown adult, with the proclamation of John to prepare the way for the Messiah. Lord, we want to see him. We want to know him. We want to know the purpose for his arrival. And we want to know how we should respond. And so we ask for you to open our eyes and our minds and our hearts that that would be true. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me read the first 8 verses of Mark chapter 1. It says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Advent, right? The arrival of the Messiah, the birth of the Messiah. It announces for us a new beginning. It's not a brand new story, but a reestablishment of the old story. And because it's a new beginning here, a sequel, if you could say, to the first story, Christmas is a good time to share the news that the Son of God is here. It's a great opportunity for us to share the news that the Son of God is here. It's a great opportunity for us to share that this is good news for sinners. Right? The arrival of the Messiah is good news. In fact, we could say it's great news. We might use a word from Sunday school this morning. It's the highest news, right? The very best news for sinners. And of course, it's also a great time to know that now is the time to repent and be cleansed. That's the call here, is for us to be to repent, to come to Jesus, and be cleansed. Now, just a little Greek for you this morning. I don't usually do too much Greek. I try to stay, don't want to get too deep in there. But it's very interesting that in the Greek, Mark doesn't include the article with the word for beginning. Now, in English, the article is just the word the here. So even though the translation has added it and it says the beginning of the gospel, in the Greek, the word the is not there. And some commentators point out that by not using that, Mark is pointing to the theme of the Old Testament story of creation. He wants to start with the word beginning. Right? He wants to start with that word that you would find in the Old Testament. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that was one beginning. And now as John the Baptist is preparing the people for the arrival of the Messiah, at the beginning of his ministry, right, there is a new beginning. The beginning, right? Beginning the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what Mark is saying there is that this new beginning is just as significant as the first one. I mean, think about that. That the arrival of the Messiah is just as significant as creation itself. Have you ever considered that when you celebrate Christmas? I mean, you're celebrating something as important as creation. Have you ever considered that at Christmas, you're celebrating something so monumental that the world, as you know it, wouldn't exist right now if it wasn't for the fact that the Messiah has already come? The world would be a completely different place. And the reason for that is because when the Messiah came, he came as the Son of God, right? Not as a man, not like you and me. Although he's born of a woman, he was divine. Verse 1 is Mark's way of telling us that Jesus is a part of the Trinity. He's divine. And of course, Mark is going to continue to reveal that and verify that through all of the miracles and the other things that Jesus did in the book of Mark. Right? But he gets right to the point here. The arrival of Jesus ushers in a new era because he is the Son of God. Every Christmas, I'm sure, every Christmas you've experienced us talking about Jesus as the Son of God. Every Christmas, we know that the church sings about Jesus being the Son of God. Do you believe that he's the Son of God? Do you believe that he came in the flesh? Do you believe that he came to save you from your sins? Do you believe that you needed a Savior because you were a sinner? You see, when you understand who Jesus is and what he did and your need for him, it's going to make you want to celebrate. Right? It should make you want to celebrate Christmas and the arrival of the Messiah. The birth of the Messiah announces a new beginning. It's a great time to share that good news. The Son of God is here with others. And of course, when you're sharing it with others, there's going to be those that think they're not worthy. Why? Because they're sinners. So tell them, no, actually, this is good news for sinners. Now, I want you to take a minute this morning to think about how you present Christmas to those around you. Now, I'm saying that because if we're not careful, we can fall into the trap that we have to be good in order for Christmas to come, in order for the Messiah to come, in order for us to be worthy of presents. You can think of the song I'm thinking of, right? Better watch out. Better not cry. Right? Listen, God sent the Messiah to save sinners. He didn't send him to save the righteous. 1 Timothy 1:15 tells us that this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. In other words, full belief. Take this in. Understand it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul says, of whom I am the foremost. Right? Jesus Christ came to save me. That's what Paul is saying. Think about it. If we had to be good first, then Jesus would still be waiting to come, wouldn't he? If we had to be good first. Now, what do we learn, or what did we learn on the first week of Advent? It says the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. The Son of God came when we were living in darkness, when you were living in darkness and I was living in darkness. We were alienated from God, actually enemies of the Lord. And yet, while that was true, God in the fullness of time sent His Son to save us. It's a great reason to celebrate Christmas. It's a great time to let sinners know why the Messiah came, that He came for them. Does your Christmas celebration include celebrating that God came to save you? He's actually washed your sins away. You know, we tend to focus on that a little more at Easter, don't we? But Christmas is about the same story, right? There's one story here. It's about God sending His Son into the world so that He could save sinners, save people that couldn't save themselves. I don't know, maybe some of you have seen this. You know, they sell a really big nail. It's like more like a spike. It's usually black. It's usually got a ribbon on it. And you're supposed to take it and hang it on some limb of your Christmas tree deep inside so you can't see it, as a reminder that underneath all of this celebration, you know, that Jesus is coming to go to the cross and to die for sinners. It's a reminder that Christmas is really a story of God's extravagant grace, sending Jesus to die for us. You know, in the book Proof, and that's like the main title, then it has the underlying title, Finding Freedom Through the Intoxicating Joy of Irresistible Grace. If you want that, you can come up and see me later and I'll give it to you again. It's actually a co-authored book, and they bounce back and forth. One person writes one chapter, and one author writes another. And I can't remember which author told this story, but they tell the story of a young girl who's adopted. And she's young, 8 or 9 years old, and of course, as most 8 and 9 year old children are, whether they're adopted or not, you know, they have a problem with self-control and obedience. Well, this adopted family always kind of treated her like an outsider. And when they would be planning to go to Disneyland, she would always get in trouble. And because she would get in trouble, they would leave her behind. They would leave her with another family. Well, after a few years of this trouble, they actually ended up giving her up again. She ends up back in a foster care. You know, by God's grace, another family adopts her. Of course, she's still pretty young, and she still has problems with self-control and obedience. And this family also began to plan a trip to Disneyland. And as the days, they tell the story, as the days grew closer and closer to leave, her behavior seemed to get worse and worse, until finally one day she just screamed out, "I guess you'll have to leave me behind." And that's when this new father, he takes her and sets her on her lap and says, "No, if we go to Disneyland, the whole family's going. And since you're a child of the family, every child is going." I mean, that's the idea of extravagant grace, right? It's not our behavior that caused Jesus to send us the Messiah. He sent us the Messiah because he loves us. Christmas is a celebration of the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's great news for sinners. Even sinners that already know they're saved, right? You need to preach that gospel to yourself this Christmas. God has saved you from your sin, your past sins, your present sins, your future sins, right? It's good news for sinners. But at the same time, let's not forget, we have a responsibility, because the call of the gospel is to repent and come to Jesus again and again and be cleansed. Christmas is the time to share these good news messages. The Son of God is here. He came to save sinners, and that's good news for sinners. But now it's time to repent and be cleansed also. Because when the Lord returns again, it'll be returning to bring those to glory that love him and to punish the wicked. Now, the first part of this passage focuses on this aspect of the arrival of the Messiah. I mean, the world isn't really ready for him when he comes. We might say the world's not really ready for him every Christmas when Christmas comes. The world is not ready for him. They're still living in darkness. But the call goes out when he arrives for the people to prepare the way. And John the Baptist is the one that's doing that, right? He's calling out, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Come to him in repentance. Come to him in humility. Humble yourself before him and be cleansed." It's not maybe be cleansed or if you'll be cleansed. It's like, come to him and be cleansed. It's also a reminder, since he calls us to come to a person, that Christmas is not about a set of beliefs. It's about a personal Savior. Christmas is not about just this intellectual decision to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, right? No, it's the understanding he came to accomplish something that would bring you into relationship with him, to cleanse you. And let's admit it, sin is dirty, right? Sin is messy. It leaves us guilty and miserable and full of shame. And before the arrival of the Messiah, there was no way for a sinner to find lasting forgiveness. Well, maybe the Jews, they had their Day of Atonement and they had sacrifices they could do, but they had to do those sacrifices over and over. There was no place for them to be ultimately cleansed, but now there is. Same story with a new beginning. God has made a change, and the sequel is even better than the first one. When you celebrate Christmas, do you celebrate that you can be cleansed of your sin? Do you celebrate the arrival of the Messiah in the knowledge that his call is for you to repent and be cleansed and accepted, to receive mercy and love, to be filled with joy and peace? And are you responding to that call at Christmas? Are you encouraged at Christmas to go to him again afresh, excited about his arrival and what that means for you? Listen, John says he's going to baptize only with water. You know, the idea there was that it was like a ceremonial cleansing. It didn't really wash their sins away, but it was pointing towards the one who would baptize you with the Holy Spirit and cleanse your sins. You know, in the Old Testament, the bestowal of the Holy Spirit is reserved exclusively to God alone. And yet here is Jesus. He's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Certainly, Mark is saying that Jesus is divine. Now is the time to repent and be cleansed. Because Jesus, the Son of God, came in the flesh to dwell with us. I mean, just think of that miracle. He came to dwell with us. Super important at Christmas to know that. The arrival of the Messiah changed everything. It's just as monumental in the story of redemption as creation itself. It's a new era. And you're living in this new beginning. Think about that. You're living in this new beginning. Well, obviously, Christmas is when we celebrate, and we should be getting excited about the arrival of the Messiah. And I've been saying for the last few weeks that the arrival of the Messiah is about more than just saving His people, right? Christmas is a reminder that He came to open the way into the Holy of Holies, to make you righteous, so that you have the right, the privilege, to come in and stand before a holy God and lay your heart before Him. So as you consider what it means to be cleansed, what it means that the Son was sent by the Father to cleanse you, I want you to consider how it was meant to change you. The Lord sent you Jesus so that you would be changed. Now, if you've been cleansed by your sin, are you celebrating that this Christmas? If you haven't been cleansed of your sins because you don't know Jesus, then I would ask you to consider the Christmas story. Let that message change you. The Son of God has come in the flesh. Ask God to make it, the story of Christmas, to make that story change you. Ask God to transform you by letting you know why Jesus came, by applying that to your heart and changing you. He came so that you would be changed forever. He came so that you would be changed forever. So this is what I want you to think about this week. These are great messages to share with those around you. The Son of God is here. This is good news for sinners. Now is the time to repent and be cleansed. Why? Because the Bible says that everyone who comes to Jesus, they will be saved. Every single person that comes to Jesus will be saved. That's Romans 10:13, if you want to write that down. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, that might be, it says, will be saved. That's the message of Christmas, that God brought about a new beginning that included sending forth His Son, right? The second person of the Trinity to save His people. And John here is preparing the way for the Messiah then. Christmas, Advent season, is a time to prepare our hearts for remembering what that means every year, so that we would be refreshed anew at Christmas. I'm going to encourage you this week to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus anew and be cleansed again from your sin. Come to Jesus and consider what it means that He baptized you with the Holy Spirit and with power. Come to Jesus and consider what it means that He made you right with God. The way has been prepared so that this Christmas you can really celebrate His arrival with joy and peace, knowing the love of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the announcement that John the Baptist gave so long ago, that the Messiah is here. We thank You that Mark wrote it down. We thank You that each year we have an opportunity to be reminded that Jesus has come, reminded of what that means. And so, Lord, fill us with a joy about Christmas this year. Maybe a joy that we haven't had for a number of years. We would just ask that we would see Jesus, that we would know Him, and that we would know His love for us, so that when Christmas Day comes, our voices would be full of praise. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's stand together, take your hymnal, and turn to hymn number 36. It's a call for the faithful to come and to come to the Lord. Oh, come all you faithful. Number 36. Let's stand together. May that song encourage your hearts to be prepared for the call to come and repent and to be cleansed and to adore your Savior. Hear his benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forevermore. Amen.